Welcome, welcome, welcome. Oh my goodness. I have to say, we're going to dig right into this because I'm so thrilled about this guest. You know, if for those of you who don't know, my birthday is December 26th. It's the day after Christmas. This holiday has always been very special to me. Growing up, I was in a very Catholic household, and you know, we spent a ton of time in church. My mom was a liturgist. My dad directed the church choir. We were in church a lot. I taught Sunday school, and then I grew up, and I kind of, you know, I got to see the world without the blinders on it. And really, Christmas has a different meaning, and it's more about family and the people that you love and not having to go to work and sharing thanks and appreciation and love with the people that mean the most, not a deity, right? So whatever it means for you, go ahead, celebrate it. That's great. But today, I really wanted to bring someone on that can talk about, like, where did all this stuff come from? And I think that we have the most distinguished of guests that I've ever had on the show. So joining us today is Dr. Jacqueline Murray. And Dr. Murray is a medieval social historian. She's based out of the University of Guelph in Ontario, Canada, where she is a professor emeritus. I could go through her resume, dozens of published pieces that are referenced in its studies, and she is a noted humanitarian for her work in Ghana. She's has been given the Guelph Women of Distinction Award, John Bell Teaching of Excellence Award. She was elected Fellow of the Royal Society of Canada. That's a huge thing. It's like the highest honor for education and research in Canada. So, like, oh my God, I wish the show was 3 hours long. But so without further ado, Dr. Jacqueline Murray, hi.
Hi, Mark. It's great to talk to you. Wow, what an introduction.
What a resume. Like, what the hell are you doing with us? So I stumbled across an article that was published last year by the university. It was their news page, and it was entitled Christmas Traditions Rooted in Surprising History. And we're going to link that to the show. But I wanted to talk to someone that knew a lot about this, and like you do. So I guess to start, like, what's a baseline? How did you get into this?
Well, as a medieval historian, I am very interested in how people lived and what they thought and so on. And then I kept seeing aspects of our own society that reflected the Middle Ages that nobody knew and recognized. And then I saw all kinds of misapprehensions that people had about the Middle Ages and, you know, how they didn't really understand them. And, you know, if I think of something like Game of Thrones, I just go, because, you know, it's what people think about the Middle Ages.
Yes.
It wasn't like that. And then that just becomes an area that you start thinking about more and more. And Christmas is one of those holidays and cultural celebrations that goes back so many years, but we don't ever really think about the roots. We have a kind of religious story at the center, and we do all of these things, like put up Christmas trees, but we don't really know why or right. where they started. And so that's what interested me, is looking a bit further into some of these aspects of such a major celebration.
So, and I'm going to ask a question, and if, feel free not to answer this, but for a baseline, are you someone that has a faith that you believe in, or are you more of like I believe in science and all that? Where are you coming at this from?
I think I'm probably very similar to you, Mark.
Okay.
I was raised in a Christian household, very much so, and I find that I weave in and out of belief. I work, the Middle Ages was entirely at least the area that I study, entirely a Roman Catholic society. And so you absorb a lot of the medieval Catholic beliefs as you're sure. studying away and so on. So I don't know. I'm in an uncertain position. I wouldn't say I'm agnostic, but I wouldn't say I'm a believer either.
Yeah, it would be cool to have a place to go when we are no longer here where everyone is in the whole land of milk and honey and all of that stuff. It'd be great. I would love that. Yeah. You know? So how?
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we will. How did you get into medieval studies? Way at the outset.
Now, this is one of those miracle stories.
Okay.
Appropriate to the season.
Sure.
I was in my first year of university. I was completely lost. I was taking these courses, and I really had no idea what I wanted to do. And stop me if this begins to sound familiar to anybody at all.
Sure.
And I happened to hear a lecture on libraries in the Middle Ages.
Oh, wow.
And it was captivating. It was so different, but yet it seemed vaguely similar. Like we all have go to libraries and read books, but our books aren't chained to the desks and so on. And anyway, it just got me so interested in this culture that I started taking courses in that area of history and literature, and became more and more interested, and ended up somehow going to graduate school after having not been a very distinguished first-year student. and then here I am. I have been teaching about the literature.
Wow, that's awesome. So as we kind of venture into the subject of the day, Christmas in the medieval times. What is that like?
Interestingly enough, it wasn't that important a holiday in the Middle Ages. It was certainly recognized as a holiday by the 4th century, and theologians and so on talked about it. And there were, you know, readings of the Nativity story in church, but they were in Latin, so the average rural farmer and his family didn't really know what was happening anyway. But there were images and pictures of the Nativity, but it wasn't Easter was the big holy celebration, not so much Christmas. But Christmas also had a social function. That comes out of the deep past, but had implications still in the Middle Ages. And that's that it's the darkest time of the year, but it's a period of time also when farmers and rural people are on a kind of a break. They've already reaped all the fields and gathered in all the grain. It's too early to sow new seeds, so they don't have as much to do, and they can relax a little bit. And so that's, I think, a significant part of it. The other part is that it was a time when the lords of manors and so on might hold a small celebration for the tenants. The tenants might pay their rent. The Lord might give tenants something like a gift or a glass of ale or whatever, because everyone was more relaxed. And then there was this Christmas celebration, but it never was a big celebration with a lot of cultural observances, probably until about 1223, and St. Francis of Assisi, who we all know, of course, yes. as the saint that protects animals and pets and so on.
My mom's favorite saint.
A lot of people's favorite saint, and for a lot of really good reasons.
Yes.
He was very concerned that the humble folk, the people who were not educated and couldn't read the Bible in Latin and didn't always sort of understand what was going on in church because it was in Latin. You know, and really up until the Second Vatican Council in the 1960s, it was all Latin all the time. So Francis of Assisi at Christmas took a manger into the church and live animals and had a little baby in the manger, and he went through the Christmas story with the people, the nativity story, with these live living creatures acting it out. So that was the first nativity play. And that really brought home the story of the Christmas and the Christmas message to people in a way that a wall painting or a sermon might not have. It became a living thing.
That's the first. That's crazy. I didn't know that. When was Christmas decided to be on that time, the December 25th? I don't know if you know.
That's a big question. Who knows? There was no specific decree, but a lot of things are happening around that time of year. It is, of course, the winter solstice, and so it's the darkest time of year. Mm. A time that has been celebrated certainly 2,000, maybe even 4,000 years before the Common Era. And because it was the time of the sun's furthest distance from the earth, it was the longest night, and people kind of feared what was going to happen. Would the sun come back? Mm. And so they celebrate when they can tell that the day is getting longer again. And of course, that's why we have Stonehenge and all those stone circles and so on, because they're measuring the sun's distance. So they know exactly when that's happening. So that was a period of celebration across cultures, particularly in Scandinavia and the Germanic areas, where we get a lot of our traditions. So that's one thing. And then for the Romans, this was the celebration of Saturnalia, was actually on December 25th, which was also the official day of solstice for the Romans. So they didn't do December 21st. They said December 25th. And this was a celebration of the sun god and god who dies and comes back. That's part of the sun god.
We're gonna pick this up right after this. Here we're talking with Dr. Jacqueline Moyer and about the origins of Christmas. So stick around. We'll be right back.